Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. We are certainly looking forward to you being with us today. We await the presence of our speaker, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam from Selma, Alabama. This is indeed an auspicious day. It is the day yesterday was, or the day of Jumma. It coincides with the Christian people's celebration. And I'm going to give some commentaries on Sunday. I'll play some of the commentaries from Imam Warzuddin Muhammad on the relationship between the night of power in the Christmas. So I'm looking forward to our brother to come on with us shortly, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Certainly is an occasion to look forward to. Also, while I'm at it, I want to make an announcement that on February the 20th in the city of Newark, New Jersey, at the Robert Creed Hotel, 50 Park Place in Newark, New Jersey, at the Best Western Motel, Savior's Day will be held. The title of the Savior's Day theme, rather, is Commemorative Savior's Day. Peace, a bridge to peace and justice. The admissions will be $25. Y'all could just hold 1 minute. I'm trying to reach our guests. Program until we have Brother Imam to come to the air.
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, this is Nazim Rashid. Nazim Rashid, author, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. And yes, I'm quite excited here. You know, I love doing these shows. This is part 19 of improving, repairing, and preparing for marriages. Yeah, 19. It's wonderful. Yeah, I really encourage everybody to go back in the archives. Yes, Blog Talk Radio, you know, after the three W's, blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. You scroll down to the archive and you'll see my picture there and a title, Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages, and download them all to your hard drive. Yes, this is part 19 and we have a lot more to go after this. So download them to your hard drive and you can put them to your iPod, iPad, and burn CDs, have them in your car, share with your friends. Yeah, yeah. I see blogs all the time on Facebook about marriages. Brothers and sisters, you know, are perplexed. They don't know what to do to have a nice, happy marriage. You know, they can get married. They can find somebody to marry them. But what do you do afterwards? Hmm? You say, well, you know, just follow the, you know, if you're religious, follow the scripture. I got to keep remembering I'm talking to more than just Muslims here.
Hello? The next voice you heard would be the voice of Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, coming from the great city of Selma, Alabama, on this auspicious day, the day where Christian people celebrate their holiday and the Muslims celebrate Juma. What a day it is that we hear our beloved brother, Yusuf, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, the interpreter of the peace that God has given us through Imam Waruddin Muhammad, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
Brother Imam, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you ready for me? Excuse me, my brother.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Beloved of our audience, we come to you today with the greeting of the one whose life is mass on this day, his greeting and the greeting of all the prophets from Adam to Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum. We come today with a spirit of a true holy day. By true, I mean a day that is not hollow, a day that is truly hallowed in the sense that it extracts a principle from the fitra, a principle we can see demonstrated by the largest body in our solar system, the sun. The sun is really a bounty gift giver, shining all the time, projecting energy throughout our solar system, giving life to help facilitate life to our planet. Just giving, 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 giving. That principle we see in the sun is clocked into all of the vitra, the original creation that Almighty God created. And that principle of giving is so important, of being charitable, or giving in zakat. It's a principle really that's being expressed everywhere and anywhere in the universe. Every second of the day, every minute of the hour, every hour of the day, every day of the week, every week of the month, and every month of the year. So we come together in harmony with those who are clocked into the universal principle of giving, related to generosity, and our prophet, the model champion human being, stated that we cannot be that to, as generous to him as we are to us, as he was to us, a glowing, generous human metaphorical son, just giving to everyone within the range of his magnetic and gravitational pull, and even those that come after, benefiting by the givingness, the generosity of Muhammad. So for those who engaging in that principle today, we certainly hope this day is pleasurable. And we join with you. But we separate from those of Nazareth and give the masses this idea of the risen, crucified Christ. Mass, what that's really all about. And give artificial ideas, lies, weak teachings to the masses. But as Muslims, I looked up the word Mary, and it means joyful and given to exuberant pleasure. If people are doing that on this particular day, in the spirit of genuine patronized giving and generosity, I say, have a merry, merry day. But for those individuals with the claws, who, like Santa, will toy with the minds of the masses, then certainly I cannot be in harmony with your malicious and evil intent. I don't want to come around you if you've been down the chimney, because you're going to be drenched with soot. And some of that soot or that suit or whatever you want to call it might get on my best dress, on my top wall. And I might suffer from a form of pollution. What a merry day of generosity. A brother told me 71 degrees, 70 degrees in New Jersey. I'm sure there's been tornadoes before in the South the day before Christmas, but I've asked everybody, old and young. I have a relative 83 years old, and she's hard-pressed to remember tornadoes ravishing the South the day before Christmas. And I'm sure that it must be some to the material science related to climate change. I'm sure it must be something to it. And I know the Quranic verse dealing with these prophetic day of conclusion end times speaks about the earth being inspired, and I'm paraphrasing and bothered and asking, people asking, what is the matter with her? The very earth and its environment will start speaking out. You'll be inspired to speak out against the excesses of humankind. And even though mankind is a player in this particular phenomenon, always we must look ultimately to the hand of God overriding, overarching, all embracing, powerful grip. Truly strong is his grip. But now you may hear about that climate change on the news. You may read about it in your local periodical. But there's a more important climate change that's going on in the spiritual atmosphere of the human being. Almighty God is changing the climate so that the original nature of Adam can be resurrected and socialize and express itself and be a witness and a leader for the nations. Be a witness and a leader for the nations. So what can I give in sincerity today? What gift can I share? What bounty can I await? El Kareem, the generous one, to bestow on us during this broadcast. Let me present this present. Present to you, dearly beloved audience, this evening. Some of us are sleeping. Pattern Express in the literature related to what Rip Van Winkle. What is the wrinkle? What is wrinkle? Not wrinkle, I'm sorry. Some of us are sleeping on that pattern. Let me share you a wake up alarm. So you can become aware that right before your eyes, Almighty God is changing the climate for the better for the believer. The moral climate, the spiritual climate, the mental climate for the better. Moving us away from that multi-millennial scheme to pollute, to poison, to pour out bowels in the air. To pour out bowels in the air. To pour down spiritual corruption. Upon the human order. The prince of the air. With a mission to release massive carbon dioxide emissions, with a mission to emit these carbon dioxide emissions into the air, pouring out his vials, you know, creating a vial. And you can flip that vial a couple of ways, V-I-L-E, and you can get live and evil. But in this day of Yom Medin, this day of resurrection, Almighty God is bringing about a massive, mega, global climate change. Let's see exactly what must be changed, dearly beloved audience. Let's see exactly what must be changed. The late master explicator, the one for whom this whole New World American experiment was created for. We know that the whole universe was created for the celestial soul of Muhammad. And there was one who came to America, who pledged his soul to the soul of Muhammad up under the tree. And consequently then, that completed a plan where the whole Western experiment, since Columbus sailed the ocean blue, was created by the soul of the master replicator of the corrupt. All the actions, what happened to the Native American, the kidnapping and enslaving of innocent and not so innocent African people, the Cotton Kingdom, the Civil War, Reconstruction, the sending of great freedom fighters, the coming of the Rockefellerian titans, industrial titans, the Carnegies, the age of industrialism, the death wars of World War I and World War II, the coming of the massive urbanized movements among African Americans initiated by Noble Du Ali through Marcus Garvey, the Nation of Islam, and then the coming on the planet of the culminating product of that massive experiment. Even slavery, brother, you better believe it. Even slavery, all that was part of a master plan to build up the muscles in the souls of African American people, and from that womb of muscular soul trained people to spring an excellent expression of humanity in the form of Imam Anwar to Deen Muhammad. And he gave us enough to understand the need for a climate change when he said we must remake the world. And let us just share around the fireplace of reason, around the son of Ra or the son of Ra. Let us not be given over to over emotionalism or maudlin sentimentality. Come, let us reason together and go back and see the schemes and plan to establish this carbon-polluted spiritual atmosphere that's surrounding the human being. discipline of revelation has evolved and grown and expanded to the global reality as pictured with the giant Godzilla-like dragon drowning in a lake of fire. Let us just take a look at the worried climate itself. God created everything in patterns. That's the standard religion. Everything is created in patterns. And it's not anything that Allah does that Satan will not attempt to do. So everything under his influence operates on his puny attempt to establish patterns, even in the language. So when it comes to the word, the letter C and the letter K, the language is patterned so that they can play into each other. Catherine, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. So just as we have C, which is a warning to look at this word, see what? The lie in the mate. And after you see the lie in the mate, look at the coordinated pattern letter K, which has 1B going up and 1V coming down, conjoined at the apex or the declination point of the descending B and the culminating point of the ascending B to get the letter K. God revealed to the prophet to read in the name of the Creator who created. Created what? This material reality and everything that's contained within it. That created the world. Of Mother Matter. The key is the key. Then there is the lie that is told about the mate. In the word matter, if we remove the T and the R, we get mate. In the word material, if we remove the R-I-A-L, we get mates. By reading, we must use echo. And Imam Muhammad said that the human being was created so that his mate, that his echo, I'm sorry, will mate with Mother Matter, and it will read and study and analyze Mother Matter and extract the gems of science and other wisdom from Mother Matter. The world and the diabolic forces have deceived the majority of the masses and thinking, making us think that somehow they have some kind of magical formula by being able to mate with creation and extract the sciences. The Blessed Imam said that God saw their arrogance and raised up a common man with mother wit and gave him the knowledge and the understanding and the deen so that he could have science as his weapon. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that science is my weapon. And from the time God gave him the book, an example, the light, the climate on this earth began to change. Oh, yes. What's the lie? The lie is that you are to read creation. But not in the name of the Creator. Because the lie is that there is no Creator. There's only Mother Matter. And our job is to go into Mother Matter, to use our echo, to get the science, the technology, and thereby the wealth to lock down on this material plane, to create a corrupt matrix-like climate. So when Jacob dreamed up this plan, he saw the angels of God ascending. That's the ascending V on that K. And he saw the angels of God descending. That's the inverted B that conjoins with the ascending B to make the letter K. He said, and they call this principle the principle of animalism ascending, animalism ascending, capitalism, in common language, going into matter and the science of the human psyche to understand how to progress and push the human being forward up the chain of human excellence, while at the same time having the science to regress, to retard the growth of, to put the human being on a backward slide. But you must create a polluted spiritual environment in order to do this, because it goes against the picture. And he says, I'm going to do my thing from the West. I'm going to look at reality as a raw materialist. My direction is not going to be toward the East. That's not going to be my Qibla. Mine is going to be toward the West, dominating the material plane, dominating the mate, oppressing Mother Matter, exploiting Mother Matter. And then he talks about all the orders that come afterwards, they would be like the dust of the earth, the same way that the serpent in the Genesis licked the dust of the earth, the same way that the blood of Abel cried from the ground that they would give themselves over to using the alcohol, and it would fall from being upright in its natural expression and become prostrate, and run on the ground, licking the dust, being used purely to construct a bow, spiritual aura around the planetary life of the human being. Abrogating the truth that, yes, we are supposed to have great knowledge for mating and studying the creation, but we are to do it under sacrifice that God accepts. We are to read it in the name of God. And Cain offered a sacrifice. And Abel offered a sacrifice, but God rejected the sacrifice of Cain. He didn't care about the science and the knowledge that Cain, Tubal Cain, and Jubal Cain and others had to master man's social political order, to create a matrix. Can't you hear mate? And the word matrix, come on, let us share today on this unusual Christmas all around the country where evidence of physical climate change appears to be manifesting itself in a very, very big way. And we are not afraid. Brother, I never heard any religious leader in America tied into some kind of spiritual climate change. Well, who told you to do this? Where did you get the gall to call yourself going to come up with something like this? None of the big prelates in America, African American or Caucasian, have taken this thing this way. And here you are, you're ducking. I'm in the land of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a bold black man, African American, a free thinker, an independent thinker. And he didn't need any permission from any force back in 19 lynching day Americana to stand up and boldly call the Caucasian a devil. And we are afraid to bring a little new concept out into the light of day. Why we ought to be ashamed of ourselves, claiming to be in the dispensation of that humble man from Georgia, the bold, honorable Elijah Muhammad, who took the deep step as a man. Matrix. You can hear mate. And tricks. What's the trick? The carbon dioxide, the TR and the X. Now let me explain. They say that the problem is carbon dioxide emissions. Let's look at that word carbon. Let's look at the car. Plus bone. The Imam said, when the Bible say that the woman was made from the rib of the man, that That meant that the church was made from a principle of knowledge, the bone, the rib bone that surrounds the heart, that the church emphasized the principle of knowledge of love. So we receive, in the name of Jesus, this intense concept of love. Love this, love that. The church made from that rib, that rib bone. And the people are so trained and conditioned and indoctrinated that the young girls, they have an object on their hair. And when we have great achievement, they give us a rib bone. So car bone is the bone of the car. Any man say car is short for carnal. We're going to give them, pour our bile in the air and give them a polluted religious idea that Almighty God can express himself in the carnal incarnated body of Jesus the Christ. Nate, trick, T-R-I-X, the Trinitarian doctrine that God incarnated in the Son, who's one of three. And then we're going to tell him that this incarnated God was crucified, nailed to the cross, body bleeding and suffered, carnal body speared. We're going to give that car bone to the dogs among the masses. We're going to give them that dogma coming from a system of matter. Dog mama, M-A, mother matter, a materialistic order. And they gonna respond automatically. Why do you let these people mass the true Jesus on this day of Christmas and pollute you with soot, or whatever that is in that by place? Give you a car bone. Get you engaged in what Quran calls a tremendous, monstrous lie on the law. Pollute your spiritual makeup with that idea. Pollute my spiritual makeup with that idea. Yes, we are going to change the climate with Iklas. God is going to bring in the original Adam, who's going to stand upon purity of faith and conviction. The carbon that comes from not olive oil, the blessed light that's neither east nor west, but the parochial, tribal, man-god, the hard, fossilized wood that becomes petroleum or petrol or pita. Upon this rock I build my church. Upon this fossilized wood, this heavily saturated, carbonized wood, I will pollute and pull my bowels out in the atmosphere, pile up the climate by giving the people a principle where God is presented in human carnal flesh. nation. We miss it with the doctrine of the Son. I know what the ma'am say about the meaning of the Son on this day, one of the shortest days of the year. They say the Son died. And as we approach the new year in January, is resurrected. I know the esoteric sign. I know what shams mean. In the language it means, son, I understand. Son, the light of God, the light of this world. But that's not what's rooted in the psychology of the masses. They missed that wise message. And you can see it in the word mission. I'm going to get them to miss it by giving them the carnal doctrine of the Son. Pour out vials in the air and create spiritual fog. And the people are not able to perceive. And God knew that Satan was going to pour out these vials, was going to pollute the atmosphere, saturate the human soul with the cloud and fog of confusion. So he took Jibreel on a walk and showed him the creation before Satan poured out his vials in the air. And Jabir could see clearly there was no air pollution. He could see clearly. And he said, oh, my Lord, how can anyone go wrong in a world like this? Come on, let's share these gifts. Let's give. I can hear my grandmother now back in that old church thing said, the more he gives, you give, the more he gives to you. And every time this donkey expresses himself, his eyes become more and more open with every sentence of giving. God blesses him with more and more understanding and clarity. We can't beat the Creator giving, no matter how we try. Well, brother, you sound like a Christian. Look right here. I've been in that church, and like Shiva, I had to pull my pants all the way up to my knees. And I did not, by the grace of God, drown in the water. Don't get confused. What I'm giving you is not that water in the church. It's a smooth, substantive slab of pure glass. It's something solid. Something solid. Stop being so weak. Stop being so weak. God has put in the hands of the descendants of slaves the key to clean up the atmosphere, to bring about sterling, clear spiritual cleanliness on this planet. And we refuse to be cowed down. We refuse to back off. We refuse to be intimidated or to speak in a wishy-washy, non-convicted tone. But we are to be passionate. The same way we were passionate about that foolishness on the block. To hear black men two blocks away talking all that foolishness. To hear them shouting in the church for half a mile away. But we don't have no passion. when they come to it. And not only the climate changer, but the game changer. We're dealing with something that can change the game in this day and time. We see your plan. You're not going to be able to crush this Muslim thing in America. Islamic phobia. Islamic this. Islamic that. It's all for naught. Almighty God's plan is strong and unfailing. His army is never defeated. His promise is never broken. In the wealth of the wealthy, availeth themselves not against Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified is he. And then once the Satan polluted the air, Jabir was shown that after he made his thing from the west, after he reduced it to everything, had to lick the dust of the earth. Then when Jabril saw it, he asked his Lord, oh my Lord, how in the world can anything go right on a creation like that? A matrix lying on the meat and saying there is no creation. No creator. There's only creation. And I am that I am. I am the God evolving out of matter to become the God over this material creation. I am that I am. That's lying on the meat. Prophet Muhammad was taken up on the ascension. He went beyond the earthly atmosphere. And when he came down, within a few months, he was able to overcome the air pollution and build a world. But before he took that journey, he didn't build anything in Mecca for 13 years. The only thing that was constructed was the internal Christ makeup in the human being. I told a brother that's not a Muslim about the experience where Almighty God took the prophet beyond the tree, and even Jabril could not go there. And I told him that God showed Muhammad things about the future that no other human being. Well, brother, that's not Quranic. Now, this man studied Quran, and he was right. I said, yes. It's not specifically mentioned in the Quran. Neither the process as to how we were given 5 prayers a day. But it's part of Muhammad's report. And I say, you're supposed to be a scientist? If he didn't get something on the ascension that no other human being has ever gotten, how is it that he did something that all of mankind together has never done? Went from zero to a big, strong community within 10 years. I said, normally those people caught up in the matrix down on this material plane, yeah, they build civilization. But what Muhammad built it, not 23. We get confused because Muhammad didn't build anything in terms of an Ummah in Mecca or like Medina in Mecca. said they let it take him to compete 10 years to be on that. And these other shooters, they take 300-400 years to get halfway there. So he must have gotten something that's never been given to a human being before. So God must have showed him something beyond that tree that's not even in the book of Revelation. Brother, you bless me. If it was in the book of Revelation, then Jabril would know it. If Jabril bought the book, then Jabril don't know it. Did he give him more than what he gave Ibrahim? Yes. Did Ibrahim have a task to build what he had to build? Did he give him more than what Musa had in the book? Yes, what Muhammad had was not contained in any book. You haven't seen what all Muhammad got on the ascension. You haven't seen it. You don't know it. You got what the Lord gave him when he sent it down to this material plane. Sent it down to this earth on this material plane that Satan want to dominate. We got that. And his great wisdom, his great power in that. But the way Satan got this material plane locked up, you can't take him with just the book. But when you got what the prophet got, look how he came and uprooted the enemies who known the proviles in the air. Gave him a civilized treaty first based upon advanced science. Enlightened human relationships. Laid it out there. And then when they rebel, because he didn't want them to pollute the spiritual atmosphere, he sent against them genius-like political and military strategy and uprooted them behind their fortress with symbolize how they had attempted to lock up the West or dominate the spiritual plane, the material plane of mankind by polluting the spiritual climate. And this fellow told me, hey man, I didn't think about that. That thing you laid on me was heavyweight. Time to think about it and we'll talk again. He can think all he want to. He doesn't know what Allah has given his brethren here in the wilderness of North America. He gave us the blessed Imam. And the only someone that was talked about in an ascension-like level away from the material plane with Bilal. I don't know of any saying that say, behold, I hear the footsteps of Abu Bakr Siddiq. Oh, behold, I hear the footsteps of Umar al-Farouq. Ali the Lion. Abu's mom. Said, no, he said, I see Bilal footstep in the future over in Persia on some kind of material plane of Mother Matter. He elevated Bilal footstep to the heavens. So somehow, someone looking like Bilal must have been the plan that one would receive something as to what Muhammad got on the ascension. Not all, but something. And Imam, if people be honest, brought some of this material pain that has never been heard before in the history of Western man. Not only that, is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say that Imam Waruddin Muhammad was a lying man? Did you not hear him say, you could put me and some sincere supporters in the desert or undeveloped environment, that's what he meant, and we would start from scratch and build a new world? These people that got Quran in the East, they can't build nothing new, and they already have thousands of years of Islam. So this man must have had something that the average scholar can't get out of Quran. If he say that he could take him and his sincere supporters and put him in an undeveloped area and start up and start, and we would build a new world. This polluted material plane was not enough to contain the mind of the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He rose above it, and God gave him the guidance. And now we stand today sharing with you the key concept to clear up the carbon emissions in your life. Identify with the wonderful word of God, Prophet Jesus, but disregard the mass of pagan carnality that they have interjected in his worship. Dearly beloved audience, we will not be moved. We're going to continue in our efforts. A man called me today, said, went to school with me 50 years ago. I haven't heard from him in a good while, and told me, I've been thinking about it. I'm worrying about the atmosphere in this country for you and your family. And I express my sincere thanks. But we're not worried, because Almighty God is the best to protect and the best to help. 10 years from now, we would have forgotten about this situation. And Muslims under the dispensation of Imam Muhammad will be holding forth everywhere, in the halls of government, in the high corporate boardrooms, in the academic institutions, on the great religious councils for global man. We can see clearly now through the polluted spiritual climate on this planet. Dearly beloved audience, Mary naturalized, picturalized generosity giving day today. And we say to you that we are with you in that innocent effort, then we celebrate with you. And we're not coming into your home frowning about your ham on the plate, condemning you, breaking down your family peaceful environment, coming in there all holy and self-righteous, disrupting everything you're trying to do. No, we coming in as guests, as civilizers. I've already been in a Christian home that they paid me well, but I was there as a civilizer. And at the end of the dinner, they say, Brother Salam, when you going to open up another community development class? We might want to attend. They wanted the civilizer to perform his duty and to teach civilization, not only to the uncivilized, but those who have been moderately civilized and would like a heavy dosage of civilization. So I said, we're going to get started in 2016. If I had gone in there frowning and snooting up my nose, acting a shown up fool, then I may have gotten a plate and a hearty request to leave. This has been Religion Means Alive. And we thank God for this day. And let us give each and every day of the year until the event inevitable that has been decreed for all of us. Dearly beloved audience, it's been wonderful. We hope and pray that you understood. And if we made any mistakes, of course, we are imperfect. Only Allah, Almighty God, is free of imperfection. With that in mind, we'll turn it back over to Brother Imam Afrid Muhammad, and I'm available for any dialogue or any questions or any conversation from our beloved audience or any sharing of words with my good friend and devoted servant, Imam Afrid Muhammad.
Well, you know, as one who loves the law, you're going to be subjected to legal questions. What do you make? And I want the audience to know, I don't know whether they're, I know that there are new people listening always. We get that. This program is being very effective. We thank Almighty God, as he's called in the Arabic Bible, in the Quran, Allah. Don't let Jerry Falwell and Franklin Graham or Wheaton College fool you. And God says, more authoritative than those men, say to the Christians, your God, and now God is one. In Baltimore, Maryland, city of Baltimore, there has been a mistrial declared in the case of the murder of Frederick Gray. Freddie Gray, I believe his name is. What do you say about that as a lawyer, as a prosecutor, and a citizen of the United States? First, as a lawyer. Secondly, as a prosecutor. And as a prosecutor, I want you to react to Sonny Hostin's comments, Jeffrey Toobin's comments, and also reacting as a defense lawyer, if you were play that side, and just as a citizen of one of the greatest countries on earth, soon, in my opinion, to be the greatest, when we, the African Americans, Joseph, get up and call the people to true prayer, true worship of God. I'm going to shut up and listen to your response.
Well, let me say briefly, as a prosecutor, I'm licking my chops. This great system does not convict a person and deprive them of their freedom without overwhelming proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And it's not enough to convict with a jury of peers. Nine or ten want to convict, but one or two others see some doubt there. Thank God for this system for requiring a unanimous vote before that there is a conviction. But it does not open the door for random release of a possible guilty perpetrator. generation. A mistrial merely suggests that the prosecutor was not able to do on this round the job in the sense of convicting 12 unanimous individuals, Brother Imam, that this alleged perpetrator was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. A mistrial, especially if there's a retrial, is never defeat for the prosecutor. Why? Because normally in the first trial, the defense attorney has access to more information. That's why on the first round, I always tried to go for the jugular. I tried to find that weakness in the shoulder of the prosecutor argument, because they didn't have all the information to prepare, because they didn't know what kind of punch I was going to throw at that shoulder. So they were surprised every time I would bob and weave and then hit it, bam. But in the second contest, they would be ready for my attack on the shoulder, and they'll put some shoulder pads on the case. Any critic of the prosecutor, and I'm assuming that's what Holston and Truven did, there are people that don't like that prosecutor. That's the bottom line. She didn't like her from the beginning. She second-guessed from the beginning. And evidently, you implying she continued to critique. But in my opinion, it's without merits. Once she loses the case, then you can say she overcharged or used the wrong strategy or was not prepared or was not effective. She get another crack at the apple. That defendant does not want to go back in court. If I was a defense lawyer, I would not want to go back in court. The prosecutor operating on state monies, state resources, while she's licking her chops.
My dear brother, we're going to visit Texas, state of Texas, before we visit Ohio. What do you have to say about the non-indictment? Some would say the alleged persons in the state of Texas would reference with respect to Sandra Bland.
I'm disappointed, not because of any little baby overreaction, racism against the poor. No. Look. Let's look at our system. I've been before a judge on many occasions. Now, I don't think they feel indict. I think the grand jury still has a role to play in Texas, my understanding. That's my understanding now. I don't think that they have failed to indict. But until that time, judges have told me, Salam, you got a good argument, and you will probably prevail at trial. But of course, you know, in my court, there's a very low threshold to meet in my court the probable cause standard. So I'm going to bound this case over to the grand jury for consideration. The cases should get to the grand jury where there is a systematic structure for fairness. And if that structure does not exist, because that's where the rubber meets the road, right there in that process, whether this person is going to have to stand trial or not. If that process is not fair, if you can't meet the test of fairness and justice, then do as the governor of the state of New York has advocated. Appoint a special prosecutor to make sure that there's a strong, rigid process to acquiesce whether or not there should be an indictment. Because once there's a failure to indict, see, in the word indict, you see dictate, D-I-C-T. As long as there's an indictment, the state can continue to dictate what happened until the jury gets it. If there's a failure to indict, no authority can say anything against the alleged perpetrator, and they free to go. So it's very important to have a strict process to determine an indictment. And when law enforcement is involved, it's rare that the regular politically sensitive prosecutor who's subject to the vote, who's subject to mass union influence in the community, policemen, wives, family, friends, and others. Sometimes it's very difficult for him to be firm or her to be firm. That's why I respect Prosecutor Marilyn Mosley, because she had the strength to stand up. So I'm not sure that there hadn't been an indictment. But it's law enforcement. And there's an unwritten rule that you don't indict law enforcement, and you certainly don't convict.
Now, we now visit the city of Cleveland, and we have seen this, I don't know what you would call that situation, but the young man was killed. And I, as you comment on the Rice case and the Bland case, I'm also, so you need to bring comments on the Civil Rights Act for violations of civil rights and why that's such a difficult threshold for federal intervention. So would you comment on that?
Well, there's nothing in the Constitution that deals with that issue, so it's a matter of statutory proclamation and enactment. Therefore, obviously, in the legislative process, there's compromise. And politically, it's not all together a walk in the park to implement rigid protected rights for citizens in that arena. It's very easy to pass a milquetoast provision that everybody can compromise and buy into that makes it somewhat difficult to really find some kind of state-imposed sanction against certain behavior under that act. That would be my explanation. What would yours be, Brother Emanuel?
Well, I haven't, well, let's just say this. I think on the case of the young man's rights, somebody should be indicted. And a municipal judge, I think he said with probable cause. But I don't know how can we as a people put pressure. That's what I'm looking for over the next year to see us have permanent fairness committees operating wherever we are to serve as liaison with law enforcement to see that we have fair enforcement of the law.
You're not going to get it with the politically charged situation where the prosecutor is subject to electoral reprimand by the law enforcement supporters coming against him in a political election. In order for him to do his job, he got to play games during his term with law enforcement. They got to work together, sometimes legit and sometimes illegit. Let's not be in a fantasy world. Look how law enforcement and the DA blatantly colluded in Chicago, Illinois, when that young boy was shot 16 times. And that situation made a new meaning out of gun smoke. I thought I saw enough of Matt Dillon. But to see all that smoke.
What do you know about Matt Dillon? You're not old enough to know about Matt Dillon. that reminds me of Gunsmoke and all of that. Those Western days. Let me ask you this. Well, this is a political question. You all still have served as a legislator as well as a practicing attorney. How does this bode for Ron Emanuel? Or is it? Well, and another question to add to that. Has there been sufficient pressures put on the city of Chicago officials to correct that problem, or is Mr. McCarthy, who was the police director in Newark and also a policeman in New York, was he just a scapegoat, a sacrificial lamb?
I've heard the phrase, Brother Lamb, throughout my period in the game, where someone was thrown under the bus. Chief McCarthy was not thrown. He was chunked. And he wasn't chunked up under the wheel. He was chunked way up under the bus. I've never seen a more blatant chunking on the bus than what happened to him. And only a man like Emmanuel could have had the gall to do that. And I'm not going to get into what I mean like a man like Emmanuel.
Only
a man in his situation would have the gall to openly and flagrantly, without qualm or conscience, chunk a public servant under the bus the way he did.
Yes.
Now,
I find that galling, but do you think there's a possibility of Mayor Ron Emanuel being recalled?
No, because the Chicago African-American elite who think that they have it made, that's not willing to stand for justice, and they tied in the crumb-snatching salute. I mean, the crumb-snatching syndrome, getting good political favors. They are not going to support that. I already have a report from the ground from a lifelong friend, grew up with me from almost a baby. He was telling me yesterday, said, yeah, use of the young folks and the masses. They want to do it. He said, but the big shots, the older folk and the elite, they are against it. So you mark my word, it's not going to happen.
Let me ask you this. Minister Farrakhan was seen visiting a rapper, I forget his name, that was shot in the head. Do you think he has done enough, as he claimed? Now, he makes a claim that he's the leader of African-American people. Though he say he's already stated that he's done all he could. It would seem that instead of visiting this rapper who had been shot in the head and dealing with his pastoral work, it would be better if he had led the march, which he claimed to have been the leader of this march against buying off Michigan Avenue. And what I've seen, Michigan Avenue was a little demonstration, but I didn't see him shutting Chicago down and causing any economic havoc there. What are your comments on that?
In what comments? In what regard? Not.
in regards to whether Brother Minister Farrakhan, who visited one of the rappers was a big advocate of violence, was shot in the head, didn't die. Praise be to Allah that he didn't die. But Minister Farrakhan, again, a big proponent of boycotting Christmas, was not even a part of the demonstration to shut down Michigan Avenue. What do you say about that? He's supposed to be the leader of this movement. He's the one called for it.
Well,
justice or else. I don't know. Maybe he thought we got justice. I don't know. You may be in touch with the minister and know that he has seen the justice and handwriting on the wall, and therefore there's no need. But, I mean, it seems to me if you're the leader of a movement, you call for it. I think Dr. King would have been downtown Chicago leading the
demonstration. Brother, ma'am, you just hiding in the contradictions. But this thing of contradictions been going on since the mid-50s of the 20th century. By this time, everybody should have adjusted to the fact that this is the reality of that leadership. And as I indicated in my earlier remarks, Allah is in charge of his affairs. And in this day, you're not going to receive divine support with those kinds of contradictions. Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't do what he did without divine support. Imam Walter D. Muhammad, I don't care what moves they made. Brett Douglas, I don't care what move he made. The boy back when our people were innocent, I don't care what move he made. That was divine intervention and divine support to bring about justice by the Lord of all the world. In this day and time, I don't care what is said or what is done, you can take it to the bank that it's not going to be successful without divine backing. And the backing, if it hadn't come forward in 83 years from Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman all the way up to Imam Muhammad, there was evidence of big backing way before the 80s. Most of them didn't live to be 80. Unbelievable Muhammad didn't live to be 80. There was evidence of divine backing with him in the 50s, back in the 1950s. So if you haven't gotten divine backing by now, when are you going to get it? Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm saying, even if he had shown up, it would have been futile. The man is the man of the hour. If you got light, you line up behind him. You're a Muslim. You tell the people I appreciate his work. He's gone now, and I'm here to support it. And I'm going to express it, and I'm going to live it. Yeah, we disagreed, but that was then and this now. I'm standing firm upon his work and the work of Muhammad. I'm getting away from all that parade incarnation talk. I don't need it to get my Lord's support. So that kind of language is used, brother, I don't even have time to monitor that situation.
Yes, sir. As they used to say in the 60s, it seemed to be a heightened contradiction.
That's the point I'm making. Intensifying the contradiction.
I was only heightening it for some of those contradiction. In love with our brother minister, beloved brother minister, Louis Farrakhan, I was a member of his temple under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want to make this crystal clear to our audience. I never followed Minister Farrakhan even out of the door. I always would walk beside him, never behind him, even when he was a minister of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And fortunately, unfortunately, I had left the temple while he was a minister in New York. 1973 and didn't come back until February of 1975. So I don't want to mislead anybody as to my insights into Minister Farrakhan, because I began to recognize his characteristics and traits by as early as 1973. But I just had to say that. I'm not going to hold you. This is a wonderful day. This is the 25th of December, and I must tell you, 7 is my number. I was born in the 7th month, 25th day, and I went to Temple Number 7 and hope to continue to do my work in what is the area of Temple Number 7. So I'm going to close out, and if you would please close us out with a comment and a dua.
Well, Brother Lamb, we thank you for your tireless effort in serving. We appreciate the giving and the givingness of your family, your wife, and your children. And we would like to do more to reciprocate that, and we want to do more. But until that time, brother, we encourage you to hang in there, and Allah will bless you. Oh, Allah, make us a people that give. Make us true in an intense way to your law of compensation. Let us not hesitate to sow, O Allah, understanding that it's inherent in your very way that we will reap. So we thank thee for this day of giving, and may we be inclined toward acknowledging that urge in us, that excellent urge in us as human beings to give. And let us not find divisive points of contention with our non-Muslim brothers and sisters. But let us come to common terms on things we both can identify with. And let us join together and work righteousness and to serve good and to give. To everyone, merry, naturalized, picturalized, giving day. And let us thank God for a word from him in the personage of Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. Peace be upon you. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaikum as-salam, and may Allah bless each and every one of our listening audience and all that may listen to this in the future. Thank you, and good night.